Track 10, Barriers to Treatment, Aggression, and Pleasing. On the last track, we discussed two barriers to treating childhood sexual trauma, transference and splitting. We looked at thought stopping and its use in altering transference situations and the steps in expanding client self-trust. On this track, we will discuss two more barriers to treating childhood sexual trauma, the barrier of aggression and the barrier of the desire to please. We will discuss corrective statements that I feel are effective techniques when working with a client who is exhibiting aggression and the desire to please at the end of this track. As you know, aggression is the outward expression of anger. Regardless of whether anger is transferred or reality-based, it can be foundational to building a healthy working relationship if the anger is recognized, evaluated, understood, and discussed. Raven, age 15, was a survivor of sexual abuse at the age of 7 by her babysitter. I felt it was important that I tell Raven and then show her that appropriately displaying anger would not destroy either one of us or drive me away. By listening respectfully and responding appropriately, I modeled the desired behavior for Raven. As you may know, many survivors of childhood sexual abuse have grown up in an environment where expressing their feelings were not permitted. Also, obviously, expressing their feelings was even punished. I had found it helpful to specifically communicate to Raven, not only do you have permission to share your feelings, but that I want to hear what they are. In addition to directly telling Raven to express her feelings in the session, I found asking Raven about her nonverbal anger cues provided her with a sign that I was truly interested and aware in learning about her feelings. Raven's first response was, "No one has ever asked to hear about my feelings. In fact, I used to get slapped in the face for it, if there was any sign I was unhappy, let alone angry." I found by providing validation for Raven's feelings, it provided an opportunity to redirect her in a positive, empowering manner. Consider your Raven. Have you specifically told him or her he or she has permission to share their feelings, good and bad, with you? I know you've thought it, and I know you know it as a therapist, but have you actually said to your sexually abused client, "Not only do you have permission to share your feelings, but that I want to hear about them"? Let me repeat that again. Not only do you have permission to share your feelings, but to say the words to your client, "I want to hear about them." Do you need to consider doing this in your next session? In addition to dealing with aggression, another barrier to treating childhood sexual trauma is the desire to please. As you know, oftentimes children who have experienced childhood sexual abuse have been cast into adult roles. One of them may be the role of caretaker. Julie, age 17, was sexually molested by her mother's second husband while he lived with them when she was 7. Julie stated, "It makes my mother happy when I look after my younger sisters and brothers. You know the stuff, cooking dinner and doing the laundry. I can do my homework later when there's time." As the caretaker, what Julie had learned was, love can be earned by pleasing others. When pleasing, the emphasis is on others, of course. Julie had begun to lose the ability to identify her own needs to fulfill them. Julie continued to struggle with a low self-esteem and her desire to please. She often adopted a submissive role as a means for gaining love and acceptance. There were times when she dared to display her own needs to be valued. In doing so, she placed herself in a vulnerable position to be exploited and used again. In another session, Julie stated, "I was working on this group project with 4 other kids at school. I just wanted to help where I could. Somehow I ended up with the bulk of the assignment." Julie had also learned to use the caretaker role as a means of controlling the degree of closeness or distance in her relationships, including her relationship with me. While it can be confusing, I have found it beneficial to initially follow her lead, to learn her rhythm and manipulative style and patterns. When Julie began meeting with me, she liked to come in and ask me about my week and worked hard to keep the conversation from focusing on her. Think of your Julie. Do you know and understand her dance or manipulation with you and her other interpersonal relationships? A technique that I found useful when working with clients living with the secrets of childhood sexual trauma is corrective statements. As you know, it is common for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to use self-accusations or self-deprecation as a means of characterizing or justifying the trauma. An example of Julia's need for information regarding corrective statements is found in Julia's statement, "I must have done something wrong," and the statement, "There's something wrong with me." These statements helped her to tolerate the abuse. As Julia revealed these feelings of guilt and shame, I introduced the idea of reframing her statement or corrective statements. The reframing took place by having Julia distinguish between the event and herself. Julia would evaluate an event as if she were evaluating herself. To enable her to normalize her response and create a corrective statement, I helped Julia separate the event from herself. Some examples of statements I have used with Julia and others are, "What happened to you was wrong, but there is nothing wrong with you." I found this helps to separate what happened to the client from the client's evaluation of themselves. Here's a second example of a corrective statement in which I separate the abuse from the abuser. "Because something happened to you doesn't mean that you're bad." Here's a third way that I reframed and separated the event from the client. I stated, "These are expected after effects of having been abused by," and then I went on to talk about specifics of the perpetrator. Here's a fourth example of a corrective statement. "Because something awful happened to you doesn't mean you're an awful person." As I reread these four corrective statements to you, have in mind your Julia, and see if any would be appropriate in your next session. "What happened to you was wrong, but there's nothing wrong with you." "Because something bad happened to you doesn't mean you're bad." "These are expected after effects after having been abused by," and then list the specifics of the perpetrator. "Because something awful happened to you doesn't mean you're an awful person." Consider replaying this track should you wish to review. We have discussed aggression and the desire to please, two more barriers to treating the secrets of childhood sexual trauma, and the use of corrective statements. On the next track, we will review an exercise for clients called inner child visualization. Question 10. In working with your survivor of childhood sexual trauma, what are two ways of modeling an appropriate anger response?